Welcome to Beanball Podcast, Episode 17. I am your host, Jason Wojciechowski, coming from Beanball Studios in Los Angeles. It is Wednesday, July 1st. I'm actually recording this on the 31st, or in between the 31st and the 1st, but you're not listening to this until the 1st, so let's call it Wednesday, July 1st. It's been a long time since podcast. There was sort of a delay, and there was a vacation on my part. I think a long enough time between podcasts that now Ben Lindbergh and Sam Miller at Baseball Prospectus have managed to start a daily podcast and post, I believe, 10 episodes in the time since my last episode of this podcast aired. So just know that I'm shaking my finger at Ben and Sam for completely stealing my concept here, this daily podcast, as opposed to the 2.5 hour monstrosities, and I say that in a good way of the up and ins and the podcasts of the world, which, if you're not listening to both of those, are certainly must-listen podcasts. In any case, that's what's been going on with me and in the podcasting world. The A's, on the other hand, I missed a lot on vacation. I missed a lot of wins, basically. I missed a lot of the same kind of thing they'd been doing all July, which is winning close games and winning way more close games than you would expect, given that, you know, generally a team's one-run record is not something that is as out of whack as the A's has been. But whatever, those wins are in the bank, and it's all about going forward from now. The A's entered today with actually a hold on the first wild card spot. You know, I've been thinking all along about the second wild card spot behind the Angels, but somewhere along the way, the A's actually passed the Angels, and in second place in the American League West. But tonight they lost. I'm not sure what the Angels did. I didn't check the scoreboard before I hit record. So the Angels may have moved past them, or the A's may have just, you know, dropped down a slot, with the Angels dropping down a slot right behind them. In any case, the A's did not look very good, losing 8-0 to the Rays. James Shields pitched a good game. Kept the A's off balance, threw that changeup that he loves to throw. There were very few hard-hit balls by the A's. Chris Carter had a hard single into left that I remember. George Kataris, or however you say his name, the new catcher, the new platoon catcher, I guess, or I don't know, new starting catcher, whatever we're going to call him. He had a single, I think, a hard single into left center that thought it might be a double, but B.J. Upton got over and cut it off, and Kataris, being a catcher, was not going to run on B.J. Upton's arm. So those are the only two hard-hit balls that come to mind. There may have been more. On the other hand, the Rays didn't hit the ball very hard off of Tommy Malone either. They just hit the ball a lot, which is kind of what you get when you're Tommy Malone, and your strikeout rate is what it is you get a lot of balls in play, and some nights those balls in play are just hit hard enough and just placed well enough that they drop for hits, and which is not to complain about Tommy Malone's luck or anything like that. That's the way he pitches, and these balls weren't, you know, just lucky squibs and bloops. There was always one or two of those in any given rally, but there were some, you know, decent, normal major league hits in there as well, and there was kind of an inability to get, you know, a key ground ball at a key time in ways that the A's had been doing in the recent past. So the defense also let him down a little bit. Brandon Hicks booted a ball, and actually the Hicks error may not have been with Malone on the mound. I don't actually remember. But in any case, Hicks also had a ball that really looked like it should have been a 6-4-3 double play, but the feed to Weeks, just, it looked like it took Hicks an extra step to get the ball to Weeks. Weeks didn't have a chance to make the play at first. Maybe Hicks saw no double play from the beginning, and so took his time making sure he got the one out at second. I'm not really sure what happened on that play, but it was a little unusual. The A's, you know, Cliff Pennington's a good defensive shortstop, and I think he has a good, physical rapport, you might call it, with Jamile Weeks on the turn at second base. And maybe Weeks and Hicks just don't have that yet. Maybe Hicks is just not as good a shortstop. I don't know. He's got a good defensive reputation, as I recall, coming over. That's why I think the A's made a grab at him. He didn't look good on those two plays tonight. And he kind of looks, it just, you know, this is the problem with watching a guy and not, you know, having access to scouts or whatever who actually know things. I guess not access, not having chased access to those scouts. Not, you know, I don't pick up the phone. I'm not complaining about the scouts not talking to me. I don't talk to the scouts. But in any, I watch Hicks. And what my eyes tell me is that he's a pretty big guy. He's maybe not big, but compared to Cliff Pennington, who's about, you know, 5'9 and 160 pounds, Hicks is a big guy. And so I think in my head he looks slower, even though he may or may not actually be slower than Pennington. Especially as compared, you know, the A's shortstops lately have been Pennington and Orlando Cabrera and of course, Miguel Tejada for a long time. None of these guys are over 5'10", and Hicks is a little taller. So I may be just subject to some sort of bias. On the other hand, maybe scouts are subject to the same kind of bias. Who knows? That's why you have a lot of them as a talent evaluator, and you grab as many opinions as you can. In any case, the A's did lose, and that drops them somewhere in the wild card chase. The Angels were the only team close enough to actually pass the A's in the standings in one night. So all I really know for sure, without looking it up on the internet as you listen, is that the A's are still in a wild card position as they head into tomorrow's final game with the Rays. On the blog, I have a piece about why I'm okay with Billy Beane and the whole crew having stood fairly silent in this trading season of July, having acquired only George Kotaris, having made no moves today, despite being linked to Yunel Escobar and Stephen Drew and Chase Headley and who even knows who else. I may have missed some other players. Well, and Hanley Ramirez, I guess, being the big prize that they sort of missed, that they missed out on with him going to the Dodgers. The other three players, Headley, Yunel, Escobar, and Drew, none of them were actually traded, so it may have been less a matter of the A's not offering enough to beat out another team as the A's offering, you know, what they thought was a fair price, and Kevin Towers or Alex Anthopoulos deciding that they'd rather hold on to that player and make this run now rather than pick up the prospects that the A's were offering. So anyway, what I have up is a piece describing why I'm completely fine with that course of action, why, you know, it's semi-analytical in that I look at the A's playoff odds and on Baseball Prospectus, and I look at kind of the quality of the team and what prospects they have coming up and who would have been potentially in a big kind of trade for Hanley Ramirez, especially given that the Marlins would have been, the A's would have been asking the Marlins to put up the money, or at least some of the money on the deal. But the focus of the piece, I guess, is more about what I'm interested in rooting for this year and next year and the year after and the year after that, and what the A's have coming and what chances the A's have this year despite that, and how it can be fun to root for this team even as maybe they didn't increase their odds by 5% by making some kind of trade, because George Kotaris probably did not move the needle 5% by himself. He probably did not move the needle at all, frankly. Derek Norris, I feel fairly confident that Derek Norris and George Kotaris would have hit more or less the same from here on out. Defense, who knows, but that's what it is. Anyway, check that out. That's what I have going on Beanball, and we will be back again tomorrow, most likely, or hopefully. I may be recording a podcast with Mark Normandin and Matt Corey at Over the Monster this week, so I will keep you appraised or apprised. I will keep you apprised, I believe. I will not be appraising you, although if an ad agency wanted to offer me money for you guys, I would gladly give you up.